I'm recording myself as well on Audacity.
Great. I'm on 1% battery.
Hello and welcome to the Taskmaster podcast. We're back again. Ed Gamble here, the host of the podcast, and will forever be the host of the podcast. There is no way anyone is wrestling that out of my hands. I'm going to say it every week. Richard Herring, back off, you little bitch. Today we will be talking about Series 1 of Taskmaster, Episode 2. And, of course, to discuss the episode, we need someone who was there at the time, someone who was at the heart of the action. And this week, our guest is the wonderful Tim Key, Taskmaster contestant in Series 1. Tim's wonderful comedian, poet, filmmaker, writer, all of that sort of stuff. In fact, he's got a new book coming out on February the 14th. He'll mention that at the end. I'll mention it at the end. We are going to plug that to hell. Go out and get Tim's book on February the 14th. But let's continue now to chat about Taskmaster Series 1. Hopefully you're all watching along with us. That would be a fun way to do it. I think if you watch the episode on all four and then come and listen to the podcast, we can relive it like we're all the way back in 2015, because God knows that's where I want to be right now. So we'll chat a lot with Tim about the episode. Email questions for future guests, taskmasterpodcast@gmail.com. I will reveal who our next guest is at the end of this episode. But for now, let's continue and chat to Tim Key about Taskmaster Series 1, Episode 2. Tim Key, welcome to the Taskmaster Podcast. Hello.
Hello, Ed.
How are you doing?
Good, thanks. It's great to be on your podcast, I must admit.
Yeah, are you excited about it? I bet you're pretty jealous that you've not been on it so far.
I'm very, very excited. Now, where's James?
No, this is not that one.
Is it not? No.
No, this is the Taskmaster podcast. Today we're here to discuss Taskmaster, specifically Series 1, Episode 2, which you were in. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah, I remember it like it was yesterday, because I rewatched it.
Yeah, well, good man, good. Okay. I'm glad to hear it. But you're also here, Tim, in your capacity as a task consultant. You're on the credits as a task consultant, and there's always a lot of chat about that online. What does Tim actually do to be the task consultant? Is it like a regular salaried job?
There's quite a lot of chat offline, actually.
Mainly coming from Alex going, why should I put you on the credits?
Yeah, the online chat room sounds a lot like Alex phoning me. It's the old what do you actually do chestnut, isn't it? My one worry about coming on this show.
So
can we just focus on me as a contestant?
Yes, we can.
We don't need to drill down onto the actual minutiae of my role as... I know it's a slight problem. It's the elephant in the room. I get that. The way you talk about it, it's as if I never come up with any tasks, and it's all coming from Alex's head. And we've got a gentleman's agreement that my name just stays on the credits.
There must be at least one task every series that you come up with or help with, right?
Oh, you do me an honour. Thanks, Ed. it's smoke and mirrors. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure Alex doesn't want me to sort of discuss which tasks are his and which task is mine.
Well, look,
we have an informal agreement. We meet up. Well, obviously, that's in a way the pandemic has actually just put the final nail in the coffin of my task consultancy, because now the meeting up bit has gone as well.
Yeah, you can't even go for a pint.
That's what we would do. We'd sort of go to... There's a pub quiz in his village, and we'd go to the pub quiz, and in between, we'd sort of say, well, have you had any tasks that are sort of to do with vinegar or stools or dartboards or anything like that?
So Alex comes up with all the tasks during the pub quiz, and you go, maybe they could do a quiz.
Yeah. After about four or five pints, I'm just sort of looking at a barman and say, can we make them all dress up like him or something? Is there something in that?
Okay, well, we won't drill down into that further, Tim. We'll focus on you as a contestant in Taskmaster.
I think I am a very, very efficient sounding board for Alex. But I would concede that other people could equally do that soundboard role.
Who buys the drinks in that scenario?
Well, Alex, because I'm there as his task consultant.
I see. Now I'm beginning to see the setup. I'm beginning to see what is a pretty sweet job for old Tim Key.
It's a pretty sweet job. And actually, the online thing is reflected in real life where people... I think my main thing is that I'm task consultant on Taskmaster. I have noticed that. Even though I'm sort of desperately trying to get other things going in my own career, it feels like that's the headline news, is that I'm the mastermind behind Taskmaster. But well, I think Alex would probably argue that he might be the mastermind behind Taskmaster.
Although we talked to Alex last week about episode one, series one, and he was telling us about the origins of Taskmaster being that you won the Edinburgh Comedy Award, and he was so annoyed that the next year he came up with something that you couldn't win. How do you feel that that a mammoth thing such as Taskmaster is based on jealousy of your success?
Yeah, good question. I always enjoy it when I hear Alex talk about that in podcasts and things, because he's never mentioned that in real life. the jealousy that he felt that summer while he was... Where was he? He was at a Christian...
He was at a Christian music festival.
He's at a Christian music festival. Yeah, I've pieced all this together. He's never mentioned this to me. He's at a Christian music festival having a miserable old time because he gets the news that I, Tim Key, have scooped the premier comedy award.
The big one.
In Edinburgh. Yeah, I got the big one. And but no, it was quite interesting, actually. Just from what I can gather, then he created Taskmaster... and the horn section, and to be fair, three children on the back of me winning that.
Yeah, I mean, he really is driven by jealousy. For such a nice man, he's produced quite a lot of bitter feelings.
In 2007, Tom Basden, my pal, was up for the Perrier Best Newcomer Award. And it was when it was still held at night. And I was sort of thinking, when we were all there and the nominations were all in, and they read out the nominations, and I was thinking, I wonder how I'll feel if this guy wins it.
Yeah.
I'm going to learn a lot about myself in the next 15 seconds.
And do you want to tell the end of the story?
Not really, no. It's pretty bleak stuff.
Because he did win, didn't he?
He did win,
refusing to reveal that.
He did win, and actually, I do remember thinking, oh, great, I'm not quite such a bad guy. Because I was, like, really pleased for him. But I genuinely was worried that he'd win it. And I go, you wank.
did that then give you the fuel to then go on 2 years later to win the main award?
I actually think all of those, being surrounded by people who are really good and really and doing really interesting and fun things does sort of, it does light a bit of a fire in you, I think. I always remember watching Mark Watson's shows and, you know, his 24-hour shows and thinking... Yeah, this is, you know, it is quite inspiring when someone, you know, creates something from nothing.
Yeah.
And you think, well, I mean, first of all, it's kind of like quite disheartening because you think, well, I can't really do that. But then it does make you think, what can I maybe, you know, contribute here? What can I come up with? I think it is quite healthy having, you know, being the same as you are, you know, with a bunch of coming through with a bunch of friends who are all kind of doing interesting things and fun things.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. It'd be nice to trace it back to see who did the first good thing that then set off a chain reaction of jealousy.
Yeah, I think the first good thing amongst us, I mean, I do remember, well, Alex's first Edinburgh show, that was a good thing.
So that's interesting. So you think a chain reaction of jealousy that ended with Taskmaster was actually started by Alex himself in the first place anyway?
Well, I'm never a massive fan of the phrase chain reaction of jealousy, but... but yeah.
When someone says to you, Tim, Taskmaster Series 1, what's the first thing that occurs to you?
I'd say proudest task was there was one where you had to get a a tea bag into a cup, into a mug from the longest distance. Throw a tea bag into a cup from the longest distance. Yeah. And I remember doing that. It's such a kind of, I think we had like a different, obviously us five had a different experience from everyone else who followed.
Yeah.
Well, not necessarily, because there were a lot of people I know who got asked to do Taskmaster, didn't have a clue what it was, and then said they'd do it without even watching it, and probably didn't watch their own episodes. But there are other people, probably which category you fall into, where you've watched a few episodes to see how you do it.
All of them, yeah.
Or to see what goes on.
Yeah.
So it was very interesting to have these things and just be in that house in this kind of vacuum and not know whether you're doing it right, whether you're judging it right, whether or not you should be trying to win, whether or not you should be trying to be entertaining, whether you should be splitting the difference, or
you should be cheating.
Come on. No. Wait, that could be a different section of this podcast. We can come on to that.
The cheating.
Yeah.
Oh, look, it's going to come up in this episode. Don't you worry. As we progress through the episode, the
cheating's going to come up. But I don't want you just to be Now, that's what I'm trying to avoid, is as we progress, you chipping in with it.
Right, okay, so you just want it all out the way at once.
Well, we can do it now if you want.
No, because don't worry. Task one is high-fiving a 55-year-old, so we're definitely... We'll come on to the cheating section then.
Oh, we're going to go through all those tasks, are we?
Yes. Absolutely. That's why we made you rewatch it. Let's start then with the prize task. Most impressive thing. Let's get straight in with yours. A medal for completing the London Marathon.
Yeah, again, difficult to know how to judge it. And actually, I think, as a rule, I was quite bad at this part of the show. I think I would have liked to have done this part of the show better.
I would disagree, because the previous week's, the first episode, was Reindeer Skull, which I think is one of the best introductions to the prize task and how to play the prize task properly.
Yeah, it's difficult. How did you do it? Was it the same on your series? You're just given five, or eight?
Ten,
yeah.
It's weird that the task consultant doesn't know how many episodes there are, because I would have thought you'd...
He wasn't consulting me on how many episodes. you think that's what he brought me in for? We're thinking eight. No. You go 10. There's a budget thing. I'll sort the budget out, Alex. There should be 10 eps. If you're getting Gamble on, give him 10 eps. Let him shine.
I think you're right in that by the time, you know, I was series 9, but you can see people and how they do it. And I think you need to go in with sort of something that sounds good in two or three words. When Greg comes in and says, "What have you brought?" you need to be bang straight in, like Reindeer Skull, or something that is very weird that you can explain in a funny way. And I think I did okay in them. I think maybe, you know, 50-50, I did all right.
Well, impressive is quite difficult, because that's difficult to judge, because you don't want to sort of... It's difficult to do that without kind of blowing your own trumpet.
Yes. But, I mean, you didn't blow your own trumpet, I don't think, because you went with the London Marathon medal, which there were, you know, tens of thousands of people do the London Marathon and complete the London Marathon, but you did it in 2009. That is the same year you won the Comedy Award. And there's only one winner of that every year. And you didn't bring your Comedy Award in.
I hadn't really looked at it like that.
Yeah.
But when you actually sort of, you know, paint it out in black and white like that, it does make it seem like 11 years ago
that wasn't my intention, Tim, to make you feel old.
What the fuck did I do last year? Went on a walk a few times.
Yeah. No medals.
Did some
for
online
that,
gigs. I don't know whether you can just... march onto a comedy show with your comedy award from another comedy show you did,
I reckon you can, especially as the connection with Alex, you can really rub that in his face. But
that's,
I think it's
true, actually.
Still impressive to do the London Marathon, although
have you done it?
I've done it twice. Just the twice, mate.
That? Why would you say that? You could have said, "Yeah, I've done it."
Same day. although Greg seemed to insinuate that he found it impressive. In quite a derogatory way, that he was surprised you'd done the London Marathon.
Yeah. I mean, what you want when you say you've done the London Marathon is for people to say, fair play to you. What you don't want is like a slight pause where you're definitely able to discern shock, genuine shock, and then both of the hosts looking at the medal and then back to my frame and then back at the medal again. And then choosing whether to say, that's impressive, or whether to say, no, you didn't do that, did you, you fat twat?
Well, I think it's impressive, Tim, and you also look like you could do it again tomorrow. How's that?
That's not bad, actually, yeah, because you can do it at lots of different paces, can't you?
Yeah, yeah, you'd start tomorrow, I would. So let's go through the contestants and their prizes, because... did you have like a pre-existing relationship with any of the other contestants? Was there that chemistry there, or was this your first time working with them?
So Frank, I sort of knew in a kind of distant, he's a sort of a sage somewhere, like a wizard. He also gave me my Perrier Award when I won it, so he sort of is somewhere in my kind of when I actually die. And your life flashes before you. I'll get a bit of Frank, actually.
Oh, lovely.
I've got some Frank backed up. And he was always very nice to me as a kind of, a sort of senior comedian. So, yeah, I liked Frank a lot. And when Alex said that he was doing it, that was a kind of a nice thing. Because, you know, to have your kind of established kind of comedy royalty being someone you know, that was quite good. I knew him a bit. I knew Roche, but I got to know Roche a lot more after that. Romesh, I don't think I knew Romesh at all. And then Josh, you know, from Edinburgh and stuff. I was trying to think who the other one is, but it's me.
It's you. And you knew you, right?
I knew me. And then I knew Greg. And then obviously best friends with Alex.
Best buds.
Best buds.
Let's discuss what other people brought. Romesh brought the Arsenal cap, which he believed to have been thrown from the Arsenal 2001-2002 Champions bus. Mm-hmm. And he seems to suggest that's impressive, as if he was part of the team.
Yes, but in fact, that is a discarded cap.
It's a discarded cap, which I think Josh makes the point that it could have been thrown over the bus, at which point Romesh looks absolutely heartbroken.
To be fair, Romesh flicked between heartbroken and furious throughout the whole episode.
Genuinely angry. I mean, if you meet Romesh, he is that furious a lot of the time. And he will, like, laugh at everything and then look absolutely devastated within a second. Yeah, yes. That's his vibe.
Yeah, that is his vibe, and a very good one, actually.
Frank brought in a gold leather cracker crown.
Oh, yeah.
Because he said it's the only hat he looks good in, and someone made him a gold leather cracker crown. I believe someone from one of his radio show listeners sent that in. Is that impressive, Tim? Is a gold leather cracker crown impressive?
I did like his logic, you know, saying that is the only hat that he looks good in.
Yeah.
And then to have that hat, created in leather... for, you know, the remaining, I don't know, 40 years of your life, whatever he's got left, I don't know how long Frank's going to plug away till. But, yeah, I think that is quite impressive. Wait, are you asking me to score this as well?
Well,
let me
see,
what are the other ones? So I've got the...
This is the benefit of this,
medal,
isn't it? London Marathon medal.
The hat.
The Arsenal cap. Roisin brought in a massive bottle of champagne that holds 8 normal-sized bottles. And Josh brought in his Celebrity Pointless trophy.
Yeah, right. Right. Okay. So if I'm looking at all of those things,
are you impressed by any of them? First of all,
well, yeah. I'm just trying to imagine which ones I'd do a impressed face at. To be honest, I can't imagine seeing a bottle that big without sort of getting my nod on slightly.
Yeah.
I think it's quite impressive. A pointless celebrity, I don't know, I mean, to a penny, aren't they?
But they were they at the time? This was, you know...
Was this before Pointless?
This was before the show was commissioned, so it's pretty impressive, let alone the celebrities version.
No, that is impressive, actually, you know.
To me, the Celebrity Pointless trophy is the most impressive because I got knocked out in the second round.
Ah, I had no idea. I'm so sorry.
Well, that's all right. It was...
Who were you on with?
Nish. It was... Look, the questions fell wrong. You know, we were in bad moods. It didn't go well. And it was literally our dream to be on that show, and it's pretty sad.
It's a story as old as time.
It is. Have
you done House of Games?
Done House of Games, mate. Got the trophy back there. Don't you worry about that.
Yeah, I got the trophy back there. Don't worry about that.
Have you? Let's have a look. Oh, it's in a different room. Imagine if we never see him again. Oh, no, there it is. He wasn't lying. Happy with that?
There's my House of Games trophy. Am I happy with it?
Yeah.
That would be a yes. are my aunts and uncles happy about me winning it? That would also be a yes. Did they email me after every show? Yes, they did indeed.
I would say that. So Josh's Celebrity Pointless Trophy only got 2 points from Greg. I think that's unfair. I feel like that's 4 points for me. The Leather Cracker Crown should be further down. I'm not impressed by it.
Nope.
Your London Marathon medal, 5 points.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's coming from someone who's run the London Marathon. That's not easy, that race, is it?
No, it's not. So what are we thinking? Are you happy with your victory there? Do you think you deserved the victory? Or do we think something else is more impressive?
You know what? I'll take it.
Okay, good. Take it.
I mean, if you're stripping everything away and you don't have to be like quirky or fun or anything like that. I think running the London Marathon is that's hard work.
Yeah, that is the most impressive thing there. I'd agree with that.
A giant amount of champagne. I drink an awful lot. I'm impressed.
You're not more impressed by that than by the Arsenal.
Well, I'm not more impressed by that than you catching someone's tossed off hat. Guys, I'm having a party around at mine today. Oh, brilliant. What is it, a champagne party? No, I've just got a hat.
Task one, Tim. High five a 55-year-old. A controversial task in Taskmaster history because you're out and about interacting with the public and straight away, no one looked like they enjoyed that at all.
Hated it. Hated it. Hated it. Hated it. Very interesting. In my worst nightmare. Absolutely. And when I opened that thing up, the task, I mean, my life flashed before me. I'm like, this is not, and I guess it must have been early in the record, like, you know, early days of us recording it, and me just sort of thinking, oh no, this can't be the show. We did another one, which people hated even more, where I don't know what the task was, but you definitely had to dress up as a parrot.
Right.
It must have been the same day.
Yeah.
So we're in this supermarket dressed as a parrot. And, I mean, I hate it. I think,
What was the task? Because I don't think that
I don't shown. Know. I don't know. But I hated it, Ed. Dressed as a parrot.
Yeah.
What could that task have been? I don't know.
It's interesting, isn't it, that clearly Alex saw that no one enjoyed doing this stuff where you have to interact with unsuspecting members of the public, and that was never seen again in Taskmaster, really.
Yeah, I talked to Alex about it afterwards, and you know, I think he got the he picked up on that energy.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, we're not going to do that again. I don't think. I mean, to be honest, obviously there's been a lot of different contestants since. And I think if you bunged everyone through the high-fiving the 55-year-old test, there would be a lot who would hate it. But there would be some who'd absolutely thrive. It'd be fantastic.
I mean, let's talk about it now. You took the opportunity to... Did you cheat or did you just...
Did you just abandon
all morals? Because
you know, I watched it back, and actually, even watching it, I mean, I was feeling for the guy. I mean, I am going through it. I just don't know what to do. And plus, you have that added layer of thinking I'm on telly.
Yeah.
And I don't want to let Alex down. And the card says I have to do this. And then I'm looking at these, you know, old swindlers wandering around this shopping mall, thinking, what the fuck am I supposed to do here? I'm not high-fiving that old lady. That's why. I mean, there's no play acting. I'm like moving towards people and then thinking I cannot do this and running away again.
It's probably the least confident I've ever seen you in any situation.
Yeah, I hated it, hated it, hated it. So when I landed upon the idea of saying that I was doing it for comic relief, I mean, for me, I didn't run any checks on that.
No.
As to sort of think, is that an okay thing to do? I just thought, yes, I think I can go up to this person if I tell him I'm with Comic Relief. Here goes then.
So you didn't, did you not, you didn't foresee any discussions about the morality of that in the studio afterwards?
I didn't think about it. I just tried to get, I was in the theatre of war, Ed. I just needed to, I needed to high five a 55-year-old and get back into the improvised green room up the stairs in the mall. That's all I had to do. I just needed to be alone with Alex and a researcher. And if that meant I had to high-five someone and say that I was raising money for Comic Relief, then so be it.
Now, after that, obviously you were challenged on the morality of it. Did you make a donation to Comic Relief? That was the big discussion in the studio, that maybe you should have maybe donated some money.
I don't know.
That means no, then?
Probably not.
No. Good to know, because I know some people wanted to know about that.
Fine. Well, I'll do that now. What is it? £185.
Well, that was that. It was £185 if you wanted your placing bumped up, and your placing wasn't bumped up, so I don't think you owe £185.
Well, there you go.
But you
and
know,
to be honest, I've given up some of my time.
That's true.
Since then, for Comic Relief to create content for their marvellous fundraising.
If Comic Relief came to you now and said, Tim, we've got a good thing going on this year. We'd love you to give up some of your time. All you've got to do is come to a shopping centre with us and high-five a 55-year-old. Would you do it?
I hate that kind of question because it's... that's possible, isn't it?
Yeah.
I say yes on a podcast, you know... During lockdown 3, where you can't leave your flats and it all seems impossible that that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And then in 4 months' time, everyone's bloody vaccinated and I'm walking around Watford with you.
I'm not coming. I'm going nowhere near that, mate.
How much for first?
12.5 grand.
Ooh, you sod.
Take it or leave it.
Aldi, can I buy second? In fact, I think I'll buy first. What was it, 12.5 grand? I've probably got that on me.
Ramesh didn't want to do it, obviously, but he made a sign, at least. He did, and he didn't do well. He found a 50-year-old and paid her 20 quid. That's what he did.
Yeah, but, yeah, it shows how badly I did it, that I'm watching Ramesh doing that and thinking, my goodness, this guy's, this guy's fantastic.
Frank... Now, this is the controversial one for me, aside from the Comic Relief incident.
Oh, high-fiving the baby.
Two 27-year-olds and a 1-year-old to make a 55-year-old. I don't think that creates one person or comes up to 55 necessarily, Tim. How do you feel about what Frank did?
Again, I feel like that is fantastic. Yeah, but I'm coming from a starting point that I just panicked and told someone that I was basically Richard Curtis and I needed to high-five them. So, to be fair, I was very, very, very impressed with Frank's work in the mall.
Yeah, I mean...
The thing that they were doing... Some of these people, those four, one thing that I knew immediately was I'm not going up to anyone who looks... It's like when they check your age when you're buying alcohol.
Yeah.
And they have to check whether you're under 25. If you look under 25, they check to see whether you're 18.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm looking for a 55-year-old, I'm making sure they're at least 60 before I ask.
Right.
That was my problem, because I don't want to be asking a 45-year-old if they're 55.
You didn't want to upset anyone?
I don't want to upset anyone in that mall. The only people I want to upset are the good people at Comic Relief. I'd rather, if I can upset no one in that mall, but I piss off Lenny Henry, then I'm okay.
Well, look, I don't think that counts what Frank did. I think it's an interesting way of tackling it, but I think it goes against what's on the task. And it took him ages anyway. It took him 12 minutes 44, so he only got 2 points.
He got 2 points, did he?
He got less than you, Tim, because you were bumped down a place for mentioning Comic Relief, but you did it in 4 minutes 29. Ramesh did it in 1 hour, but he didn't do it. So he high-fived a 50-year-old after 1 hour, so that was 1 point for Ramesh. Josh won. He got 5 points. He did it in 3:18, and he did it straight up. He found a 55-year-old. He high-fived the 55-year-old. Same with Roisin. Yeah. 4 points, 6:12. Lovely stuff from Roisin. She played it with a straight bat. And now it's time to hear from our BFF bonus fact finder, Alex Horn.
Yes, it's me, Alex Horn, your current BFF bonus fact finder. And today's bonus fact is all about the parrot costume task that didn't make the show, which Tim was trying to remember. The parrot costume, of course, that then did feature in a later series that involved people like Sean Gibson and Paul Sinha, where I was wearing the parrot costume. They had to work out what I was wearing, but I couldn't talk. I could only communicate with a bell or a horn or something like that, and they couldn't see me. I can't remember the details because it's now 2021. Today's bonus fact comes courtesy of the notes I took at the time with Mr. Tim Key in the shopping centre in Wickham. I am very pleased that I made the notes. I'm just going to read them out to you. The noise you can hear, by the way, is the hubbub of the Taskmaster house. There is hoovering going on. There is traffic going past. There are planes overhead. This is what we have to fight against constantly here at the Taskmaster house, even mid-pandemic. OK, these are the notes I took about the parrot task, where Tim had to get as many people as possible to sign a piece of paper whilst wearing a parrot costume. OK, the notes are these. First 10 minutes spent buying £20 of sweets. Spent lots of time leant up against the wall. Almost knocked a 4-year-old over. Silent and menacing. Demanded that parents sign for the sweet. He was determined to stick to what was quite a bad plan. He waited. It was chilling and sad. Eventually he got allies in Carphone Warehouse. So that was a task that didn't make it, but hopefully now you can all imagine Mr. Tim Key doing something he didn't want to do, dressed up as a parrot. Goodbye, everyone.
Task two, Tim. Yep. This is an absolute classic. Identify the contents of the pie.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah, it is good stuff. You may touch the pies, but you may not breach the pastry. Key language there, you may not breach the pastry.
Well, when I watched it back, there was a lot of people really enjoying using the word breach.
A lot of breach was flying around in the studio.
Tons of breach.
Yeah.
Everyone really relishing saying breach.
I think this is the ultimate example of the fact that this was the first series of Taskmaster, so no one's thinking that anything tricksy is going to happen. Certainly Frank, who just wanders into the show, he doesn't know what it is. He's presented with these pies and he's got to guess what's in the pies. So he doesn't
breach
them.
It was kind
of
sweet, wasn't it? It's just Frank just looking at pies as if he thinks that this game show that someone with a creative comic mind has come up with is exactly the same as Greg's. As in the bakery.
The bakery, yeah, not the host.
I mean, in his mind, he can't have done enough calculations because he's genuinely thinking that the next task is, please tell me which meat is in these meat pies.
Without looking at them or smelling, literally just like staring at them and using, as he says, the psychic approach.
I know. Frank is a very, very TV savvy guy. He's been kicking around for a while. So what was going on in his mind there? I have no idea.
Maybe this, you know, that's probably in the game shows of his youth. Maybe that's the sort of thing they did on like sort of very
early
generation.
You think until the 1970s, people were saying which of these meals has got onion in? You can't taste them.
I think that's exactly the sort of thing they were doing in the 60s.
They were, actually, to be fair.
I think that's what Frank was channeling there. And it obviously did not work for him because he guessed all normal pie ingredients, whereas in fact the pies contained steak, marbles, frozen peas, a picture of the Taskmaster and hot toothpaste. I think this was... I love to see Tim Key being absolute pure Tim Key, and I think asking Alex to punch the pies and breach the pies and then just screaming laughing watching your friend punch loads of different pies, I think is you at your most real.
Well, I've got to say, there's I used to live with Alex, and there was actually there was one time where we were in Edinburgh and we all went out for lunch together in this pub. I think there was also some mums and dads there of the horn section, so there was about like 20 people there or something. And I think he ordered a pie, and then I think I asked him to punch his pie. I think just on the sly, just next to him, I said, "Punch your pie, come on." And he's like, "Well, I'm not going to punch the pie." Come on, punch the pie. And then, you know, we were still young in those days. So yeah. Obviously Alex punched his
punched
pie.
Punched the pie, yeah.
Everyone furious with him. Why have you done that? loads of adults, like, what are you doing? Why have you punched your pie?
You say that you were young then, so he punched the pie. I can absolutely imagine that exact thing playing out now.
Yeah, you'd hope so, wouldn't you? You know, once we come back after these lockdowns, you'd hope that we've all still got some spirit left inside us.
So you enjoy, so Alex punching the pies is actually something you'd done in the past.
I like that task. I was watching it back and it did remind me of that incident I just explained, but also I really liked the it was quite a funny show to do, obviously, because I'm friends with Alex, and I think it's not like I'm friends with Alex and no one else knows him. There's so much warmth immediately between... Yeah. Alex immediately establishes a really warm relationship, I think, without any exception, every single person who's been on that show, which is kind of the, you know, the lifeblood of doing the task. It's just, you know, it's beautiful. But there was a sort of element of thinking, I'm going to get my mate to punch these pies.
But it was a good technique, I think. I think you found the best way of doing it.
It wasn't bad. I also like the fact that when I say it to Alex, you see in his eyes, he's thinking, "Oh, good, I'm going to punch the pies." Fantastic.
Yeah, he's excited to punch the pies. Whereas Roshi nearly has a good idea. She gets Alex to taste the pies and then guesses the contents by the way he looks. But she sets up her own rules that she can't look at him whilst he's eating the pie for some reason.
Yes, she sort of gets her Blair Witch Project on, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does. But I'm glad she does, because she is the only one who gets Alex to eat the pies, and then we now have a situation where Alex is eating a hot toothpaste pie, which I think to date is the most disgusting thing he's ever eaten, he said. Perhaps. It's up there.
I'll be honest, he eats a lot of bad stuff.
He does.
In fact, I would say it's one of my favourite moments of you know, his sort of constant, you know, sort of steady flow of asides that sort of come from his neck of the woods during the show, is when I think he's eating my dinner in this series where we have
I think it's the final task, the alphabet dinner, yeah.
Right, and I think he's eating mine, but he might be eating someone else's, or he's definitely eating something in Taskmaster, where he takes a mouthful of this stuff and he's eating it. And he just very quietly says, it's not easy.
He's a trooper, that man.
He really is a trooper. He's eaten that could be an episode in itself, the stuff that guy's consumed during this show.
Oh, my God. Milk pie. That is this a real pie or something you put together? Is that yogurt pie?
Oh, you're eating it.
Well, it tastes just exactly like mint, like an extra strong mint pie. But it looks like Tipp-Ex. Is it mint Tipp-Ex pie?
Task three, Tim. It's another memorable one. Do something that will look impressive in reverse. The Taskmaster will see whatever act you perform played backwards. You must therefore do something backwards that will look impressive when the film is played in reverse. Big, big task this. Very, people still talk about this one.
Oh, they really do. And not because of my task.
No, I was going to say, not necessarily yours, which you called MILF, because it's film backwards.
Yeah, that's quite good, that.
Still proud of that.
No, people talk about it because of Romesh's Tree Wizard.
Tree Wizard, yes.
That's the main reason people talk about it. But I got to say, I watched that back, and I think that Roisin's one is a thing of of beauty.
Thirsty Wolf.
It's insane. And that fits in again with what I was saying about, you know, just being really interested to see what the other people have done.
Yeah.
And when Roche did that, I mean, it's quite interesting because her sort of journey through the show is largely getting in a bit of a pickle and sort of hoping for the best. And being unfailingly, like, you know, funny doing it. But from nowhere, she just does that.
Yeah. No, she is. It's very impressive. And it got 5 points as well. That and Tree Wizard, which obviously Tree Wizard is iconic. I've seen it many, many times now.
Oh, it's beautiful. I haven't seen it for a long time, and it's a work of art.
Yeah.
Well, what's very interesting is you can do doing that jigsaw, and I was sort of thinking, I was quite happy with that. You know, when you leave the room, and sometimes you feel absolutely deflated, and other times you think, yeah, I think I've done okay. I've acquitted myself okay there, and they're quite difficult. Aside from the ones with where you're meeting the public, which thankfully there was only one.
Yeah.
The ones where you have to do something creative are quite daunting, where you're like, this is a slight problem.
Because it's sort of within the Venn diagram of what you do anyway, so the pressure's on then, right?
Yeah. Our job is to sort of, when we're not doing Taskmaster, is to theoretically make things that are kind of quite funny. And now he's asking me to do this. And so you sort of think, once you've got an idea and you've done it and it sort of worked okay, you sort of think, good, got away with that. But what's very interesting is to do that jigsaw thing and then to see all five next to each other and to see two that were so much better and then to see two that were so much worse.
I think if you're putting yourself in the same bracket as Frank Skinner's, I think you're doing yourself a disservice because Frank.
No, that's what. No, I'm not. I'm saying Frank's was absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
and which Frank was very clear about.
Yeah.
And it was so funny watching Frank's face and the constant updating from Frank on his end seat where he keeps on saying, "My one's just looking worse and worse here."
I will remember that from the first time I watched it as well. I think about it a lot when he watches that back and says, well, watching it back, it's actually quite poor.
It's actually quite poor.
Yeah. Because it's Push Up and Away, it's called. And he's so he's so proud of it during the film. You can see how happy he is with it. That he's on the floor and he pushes himself. I mean, but that just looked like something a lot of people could probably do in real life anyway, right?
Yeah. He needed to do something which, if it was just filmed normally going forwards, is impossible.
Yeah.
and instead he filmed something that it really didn't matter which. It would be equally impressive being played forwards or backwards.
Yeah, but I think that also sums up. It really sums up an incredible bit of Taskmaster when it dawns on someone that they've not done as well as everyone else. And it's heartbreaking for the person, but it's very funny.
And you know it's happening because when you're on that show, you quickly work out the grammar of it, where they say, well, we're gonna have a look at Ed's first.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I didn't do it very well.
Yeah. Or, to be honest, quite often, if they said we're going to look at Ed's last, we're saving Ed still last, you're like, I might have spectacularly done this badly.
Which you take that on the chin. If yours hasn't been shown yet and you're last, you sort of go, well, somehow or other, I've taken one for the team here.
Yeah, it's going to be funny enough to be shown last.
Yeah, it's when you're first, and they just say, well, you know, we got everyone to make baskets out of these ingredients. Right, here's the first one. You go, oh, right, okay, yeah, that's just a man making a basket. Oh well.
Josh's was pretty good. I think just up against Roshan and Ramesh, it wasn't much. Like, it was a nice idea to him look like he's pulling a car on a skateboard on his tummy, but he was crawling along so sort of like pathetically and slowly that it just didn't look that strong. And also the car had its brake lights on.
The car with the brake lights on. I mean, Josh just didn't think it through. I mean, poor old Josh. Josh has got to go right. Brake lights off.
Yeah.
And he's also got to go, Alex, you can't be seen in the car.
Yeah.
You've got to go right down into the footwell and just, you know, just keep it going. Quite, you know, have a walkie-talkie or something, so we know whether or not you've accidentally gone at 30 miles an hour and killed Josh Widdicombe. But instead, yeah, it really looked like Alex was just driving very, very slowly in reverse, and Josh was just going on a skateboard very slowly, and it's sort of see above, really. It's the same as Frank's. Absolutely perfectly normal in real life, really, give or take.
So that was a deserved 5 points for Roisin and Romesh. 3 points for Josh's Man versus Machine. Only 2 points for MILF, Tim. But
now, why do you think that is? I think I've put together something that's better than Josh's. But maybe Josh's was, to be fair to the guy, funnier.
Here's my issue with yours, Tim. I think why was it sped up as well? Why couldn't you have just dissembled a jigsaw like quite quickly, and then put it in the thing, and then it would have looked like you're just doing a jigsaw quite quickly. If it was sped up, it suggested more editing and more fiddling with it, which made it look less impressive in my eyes. Do you see?
You know what? I think you've put your finger on it.
Yep.
And, you know, if they ever do a Taskmaster where you're allowed to take your own task consultant in, I'd happily have you there as my wingman.
Thank you. Well, I know what task consultants do, and I don't have to come on the day. We'll just go for a pint beforehand.
I tell you what, I never thought I'd say it, but the life of a task consultant is absolutely fantastic. And also, the pandemic hasn't really affected it.
No.
Tree wizard! Magical hands and holy shit, it's another balloon! Tree wizard! Takes position, what is he gonna do? Tree wizard! Flies up to his tree and waves goodbye to you! Tree wizard! Tree wizard! Tree wizard!
The studio task, you're all shackled up, and it's crack the code, unshackle yourself, and sprint 1 meter fastest wins. And the clues, of course, were Alex's weight and then Greg's weight.
Yeah.
I forgot how competitive you were in this, Tim. You know, you're very competitive in the studio task, for certain. You're shouting at people, you're trying to get clues.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? How competitive were you, would you say? You were quite competitive.
Pretty competitive, I'd say. Eight out of 10.
Who would you say is the most 10 out of 10 competitive person that they've had through their doors?
Richard was very competitive in the last series. Ian Sterling was very competitive. Lou Sanders was very competitive as well. There's always at least one or two. Rose Matafeo as well. Yeah. There's always one or two who are... And it gets sort of worse and worse as the show goes on, I think. There's more and more competitive people because there's people who every time the series is announced and they're not on it, it's building up. They're getting more and more excited, more and more revved up to do it.
Oh, yeah, miserable stuff. Miserable stuff. I kind of feel like it comes and it goes in me. It's a weird it's a weird sort of hodgepodge of emotions, isn't it, when you're doing that show? Because you are balancing all of those things.
Yeah.
Trying to be funny, trying to get the tasks done right, trying to, avoid doing anything that someone else would have done.
Yeah.
Effectively, everything you're doing, which is sort of slightly the story of my life, is you're just trying to please Alex.
Yeah.
I mean, ostensibly, you're trying to please Greg, but, beyond
on the day,
that.
On the day, it's Alex, isn't it? Because he's there looking at you. But he's quite stoic. He's quite difficult to impress, and the only time he really breaks and laughs and has to go behind his clipboard is when something goes wrong.
Yeah, or sort of when he's sort of handling Sally Phillips, if that's a phrase.
Yes, I think it is. That was won by Roisin. She got the weights quickest.
Yeah.
Did you know Alex's weight off the top of your head?
No, and I can't sort of imagine how heavy that guy would be. I always sort of assume we're roughly the same.
Yeah.
But I think I got his weight much quicker. I think Greg's, I didn't have a clue.
No.
I mean, you've supported him.
Well, not like that, but... I would have been in the right ballpark for Greg's, I think.
Yeah.
I
couldn't work out how much of him there was.
Big boy.
I'm sort of looking across at Greg and... The thing is, there's just so much before you even get into the meat of it. There's so much height.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? It's the height that you got to look at first, and then the meat.
Yeah, it's height their meat. I mean, at least with Alex, he's got sort of a kind of vaguely understandable height. So you can sort of tick off the height quite quickly and then get into the meat.
Yeah, he's straight onto the meat.
With Greg, it's very difficult for a human to conceive of that kind of height. And then you add in the meat.
Yeah.
And that's why it took me a long time. I mean, I was fourth.
Yes, you didn't do great on that one. You only got the 2 points. But Roisin, she was straight away. But I guess she's friends with Greg. She's had time to consider the height so she can get straight into the meat.
She's hugged the guy.
Yeah. She's felt the meat.
I've only hugged Alex once.
Do you remember when that was?
Yeah, it was after we'd driven back from Edinburgh in 2005, I think. We'd spent the whole month doing the show together and living together.
Yeah.
And just living in each other's pockets. And we'd had an 8-hour drive on the way home. He dropped me off. I got my stuff out of the car. We hugged. We looked at each other and he said, let's never do that again.
What a heartwarming story. So fine.
He's not a very huggy guy.
No, I always hug him. I make a point of hugging him.
He looks huggier than he is.
Yes, he looks really huggy, but when you do hug him, he always looks slightly perturbed by that.
Yeah.
Which makes me want to do it more.
Yeah.
It was a Roisin victory this episode. She had a strong episode. 21 points for Roisin. 18 points for Tim Key. Second place. Very strong showing, I thought.
Where'd I come? Second.
Second. Yeah, happy with that?
Yeah, I'll take that, yeah.
Third place for Josh, 16 points. Slow and steady from Josh, as per. 14 points for Ramesh and only 9 points for Frank. Not a great Skinner ep, unfortunately. Push up and away really cost him there.
Yeah, it did, actually. I mean, what would have been really useful information, I often think, is knowing that there would be such a thing as champion of champions.
Yeah.
I think that would have sharpened my talons slightly.
Do you think?
I think so, because you just sort of go onto these shows and you think, well, it doesn't really make any difference whether you're, you know, first, second, third, fourth or fifth.
You just want to be memorable.
It's all about just being, you know, being good value, you know, all of that sort of stuff. But when you realise that actually if you win, then there's a wealth of opportunities come towards you. Then you sort of think, And so, yeah, Josh quietly got on with things.
Now, Tim, Taskmaster's quite a good thing for bonding with people. I think you establish a real chemistry with the people you're on. Like in my series, we all went out for afternoon tea. We all met up afterwards.
Great.
Did you and your cast do anything after the show?
So in the green room after we'd finished everything, there was a lot of I think spirits were pretty high, and there was, I think in one of the episodes, I can't remember what it was. There was some task, or maybe it was a prize that someone had to bring in, but someone brought in tickets for two to go to Cologne.
Yeah.
Right. So in the green room, when we'd finished it, or in the bar, we made a pact that we'd all go to Cologne. And in my mind, when you make a pact to all go to Cologne, you go to Cologne. So then I'm emailing, and then I'm sending out flights, and then people are booking flights. And it sounds a bit churlish to say people are flaky when what they're not doing is, you know, pulling out of going to dinner at the last minute. They're actually, in the end, not going to Cologne for 24 hours. But I think then Roche got... I think she got Have I Got News For You, which is like quite a big deal.
Yeah.
Ramesh, I can't remember what his thing was. Greg, no, not so much. Alex then. Alex had something or other going on. Oh, hang on. What's that? That's Alexa. I think
you are asking for the song Missing. Is that right?
That's genuinely because I said Alex. No, stand down. Stand down.
Did you want the song Missing?
Stand down. Okay. So,
Coming Around Again is available with Amazon Music Unlimited, which lets you play over 60 million songs.
Stand down.
Cancel anytime. Terms in the Alexa app. Should I start your free trial and play Coming Around Again?
Yes.
No!
Okay. You can sign up anytime, guys. Sign up for Amazon Music Unlimited.
Okay, right you are. So anyway, me and Josh are now on a train in Bedford or somewhere, or, you know, we're going to Luton, I don't know. And I remember Josh, we met at the platform, you know, both coming out of London in different directions. So now we're at a platform getting on a train to go to the airport, just me and Josh. And Frank's meeting us at the airport. And Josh observes, he said, because we were supposed to have seven of us going to Cologne.
Yeah.
And it would have been a mad trip to Cologne with all seven of us. And Josh said, it's turned from seven of us going to Cologne to me and you taking a 55-year-old to Germany.
Wow.
So then we met Frank at the airport, and it's now just me, Josh and Frank. And we fly to Cologne. The whole point is to go to this cathedral, and we check into our place, and you know, we go and have some pretty poor pizza and a drink in the piazza,
sure, yeah,
square,
yeah.
You know,
square, big square, Italian,
square. Should have said square,
Italian,
yeah.
square,
Italian square in Cologne, and then go to the cathedral. Cathedral's closed. I mean, I've got to say, it was one of the great trips. It was so fun. Just me, Josh and Frank, just walking around Cologne.
Lovely.
And Frank is, I mean, I don't know how well you know Frank Skinner, but the three of us got on really well. But I mean, Frank is just an absolute font of knowledge and anecdotes. And he's just he's incredibly good, incredibly fun company. And so we ended up in this, you know, some kind of German bar in the evening. Me and Josh getting lashed. Frank doesn't drink, so we're just getting lashed and just hanging on his every word. And then the next day, Alex arrives because he had a gig that night. So he's decided to come for brunch. So he flies
to Cologne for brunch.
So he flies out at 6 a.m. and we meet Alex on the Piazza Plaza Square at 9 a.m. We have brunch, we go to the cathedral, which is now open, we go for a walk around Cologne, and then we get in a taxi back to the airport for our flight at 1 o'clock. And that was our team building exercise.
It's lovely.
Less than half of us, and
very bougie of Alex to pop on a flight to Cologne for brunch and then go home again.
It was really good. It's sort of classic Alex. He said from the start, I probably can't do the whole weekend, but I'll come for the day. And he did it.
Tim, we always ask our guests on the Taskmaster podcast to rate their experience on the podcast 1 to 5 points. Could you give me a point score now, please?
5. Always enjoy spending time with you, Ed.
Thank you. It's always fun, isn't it? We always have a laugh. Yeah. Tim, have you got a new book coming out?
I do, actually. Funny you should ask. Yeah, it comes out on the 14th of February. It's called He Used Thought as a Wife.
Lovely, lovely title.
It's all about lockdown.
Is it prose, poetry? What are we talking?
Poetry and dialogues.
Lovely.
Poetry and dialogues.
Look out for that. And that will be available wherever you buy your books, yes?
We're working on that side of it, yeah.
Well, keep an eye out. It might be available on the 14th of February.
Yeah,
thanks,
fantastic.
Tim.
Thanks, Ed.
Well, there we have it. Taskmaster Series 1, Episode 2, fully discussed. Consider that put to bed. We've put a lot of rumours to bed there. We've concluded a lot of things that were out in the ether. Finally, the dirt has been dug and the milk has been spilt on the infamous trip to Cologne that Josh and Tim and Frank Skinner took. It genuinely sounds quite pleasant. That is the reason that we all went for an afternoon tea after Series 9, is Joe and David were so wowed by the story of a trip to Cologne, they decided we definitely needed to do something, but we weren't willing to travel internationally. Remember, Tim's book is out on February 14th. Go and get that. Also, email your questions into us, taskmasterpodcast@gmail.com, for our special guest next week, the wonderful Josh Widdicombe. That's right, another contestant from Series 1 is going to discuss the third episode of that series. We'll be chatting to the brilliant Josh Widdicombe. Get your questions in, anything you've ever wanted to know about his time on Taskmaster, Taskmaster in general, anything you want us to discuss, get it in, taskmasterpodcast@gmail.com. Continue to watch the series on all four, and we will see you next week. Goodbye.
Wow, it's a lot of pie.